Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 168. Thank you so much for listening. Today's episode is with Catherine Alfonso. She is the narrator, the journalist, and also just the all-around podcast host for How to Change the World, which is available at Javelin Co. For those of you who don't know her podcast or don't know her voice, she's got a British accent. I have to say, it's very fun to just kind of hear it. And on top of which, her podcast focuses a lot on stories like we do. And it's really interesting. She gets all sorts of people from different backgrounds. And I think it's one of those things that we learned a lot from her just as much as I think she learned a lot from us. So if you'd like to listen to my episode for How to Change the World podcast, it is available. And they take a deep dive on the individual. I gave a lot about growing up and what changed my life from the moment that I moved away from my home in Pennsylvania to my new home and my eternal home out on the Hopi Reservation. So that is available again at Javelin Co. I think it's javelin.co. So go check it out /podcast. Go listen to it. It's a really cool one. I think I divulged a lot of my history and kind of let my emotions go a little bit too. You really get a personal look at myself and my story. My mom loved it. She just I think she cried a little bit. She didn't understand how I felt, so it was kind of interesting to get her perspective after, I think, what, it's been over 10 years since I moved out. So so it's just really one of those things that I wanted to kind of help this company and this podcast with what they got going, and I also wanted to be a part of it in my own on my own side. So go listen to it. This is our episode with them, on top of which we have a little bit of business. FindingArizonaPodcast.com, pretty simple. If you want to reach us at all our social media, Finding Arizona Podcast is the username. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, very easy for you guys to connect with us. On top of which, if you'd like to be on an episode, or if you'd like to shout out for our community cork board, anything and everything, you can probably reach us at FindingArizonaPodcast@gmail.com. We make it really easy for you guys to really connect with us. We just really want to be a part of this community. We love highlighting you guys. We love all the emails. There have been a ton of emails of people wanting to come in and be a part of this. That means a lot. 2019 is going to be so hectic, so crazy, and I cannot wait. So that being said, patreon.com/FindingArizonaPodcast. We have extra content available for you guys, only available at patreon.com, where you'll get 50 questions with each of these guests. We try and do it for every guest, on top of which Brittany and I did our 2018 one. That is our 50 questions. So if you want to learn about Brittany and I, we did that available for you. So that being said, let's jump right into this episode. Episode number 168, Javelin Co. and How to Change the World podcast.
I love learning London's great stuff. All of it.
That's awesome.
All right. Now we're going to go do both of you, if you don't mind, because this is about Javelina. And so thinking you were going to just sit out on this one is...
You're putting Ariel outside of our company.
Yes. Well, we'll keep it low key, Ariel, but you're definitely going to have to at least say your name.
Okay. You can do that.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, Jose. As always, we're bringing in very special guests. Today's no different. We have two very special guests. They just got done with the podcast with me, and today we're going to do one with both of them. One of them's going to be a little bit more quiet. The other one's going to do all the talking, but it's okay because she has a British accent, and it's going to sound amazing. So please welcome the CEO and the host of Change the World podcast, Catherine Alonso, and her client and in charge of sales, I believe that's what it said on the website, Ariel Reyes. Client relations and sales, that's what it said on there. Yeah. Yes. So that's welcome, right. Ladies.
Thank you for having us.
And they are part of Javelina as
thrilled
well.
To be here.
So, Catherine, first off, tell us a little bit about Javelina and how it got started.
Javelina is a change engineering company. So what that means is we work with our clients, and our clients are nonprofits, businesses, and political campaigns.
Okay.
To advance change-focused goals by bringing together strategies from the worlds of political campaigns and the world of marketing.
Wow, so that is a mouthful.
I haven't memorized. So the idea is that rather than in today's sort of hyper-competitive, constantly changing internet world, it's not enough anymore to develop this beautiful story and sort of throw it out into the world and throw it out on the internet. You also need to know how to organize people around that story.
Got it.
And what we have done is, or what we do, is really learn from both. What can we learn from the world of marketing about powerful storytelling? And what can we learn from the world of political campaigns about building a movement?
Got it.
And when you put both things together, you can make really, really powerful change. Our purpose as a company is to advance equality and human dignity through social, political, and economic change. So all of our clients are aligned in that vision.
Awesome.
And we all, everybody, you know, wants to, and the change they're making is completely varied, but it's all within the direction of progressive social change.
Applause to both of you for at least coming in here and just being able to talk about this sort of stuff, is because I know politics are very hard on some people sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So it's just like, how is it for you guys, especially being in the business, and then also, I mean, your family might not be on the same pages as some of your political views. Like, for both of you, how hard or how easy has it been working in the political realm?
I mean, for me, I've been very fortunate since I was in college and came out of college. I've always got to work at firms that aligned with my political views.
Okay.
Because it's just something that's very core to who I am, and that's important to me. So I actually don't find it difficult.
Okay.
I actually find it would be difficult for me to not do that.
Got it.
It would be difficult for me to work
somewhere
big that was apolitical.
Got it.
So for me, it's a little different.
Nice.
I think I'm the same way that, you know, I've really, not always, but for most of the time, worked for political companies, and then all my friends are in politics. So it's just a part of the, you know, it's part of my DNA. We definitely have team members who's, you know, and we all have that family member, especially right now with how divided things are. We all have that family member who, you know, the vote they cast, and it makes you want to harm yourself. But, you know,
it just brings your gut to a little.
Yeah. And I think that that is a very challenging thing. I don't think it's unique to us. I think everyone, you know, I think everyone has an uncle who voted.
Why is it always an uncle?
Always.
It's never an aunt. It's never an aunt.
Everyone always has an uncle that voted for Trump. And, you know, it's a tough thing. And, you know, that's one of the weird things about this political time is it's divided families. You know, people aren't talking to each other. People, it's a very hard thing to reconcile when someone you love is it's seemingly so opposed to your core values. I will say that the hyper-political time we're living in is part of why our company has seen so much growth because the last couple of years, because it is forcing, it is inspiring people to get more involved, and they see the problems in the world, and they think, you know what, I don't want to work in an apolitical environment. I want to get in the game. And, you know, and I want to influence it, even if it's not directly in politics, but I want to have positive change in my community, and I want to make that.
Okay.
And that has been really, that's what change engineering is. It's an interruption from conventional wisdom that said that the people responsible for change are politicians and, you know, and famous people, and everybody else has to appeal to everyone, and you can't say what you stand for, and you just have to pretend that you appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
And what change engineering is saying, no, these are my values. This is what I believe in. And I want to push the world in that direction, no matter what seat I currently sit in, whether it's in working for a large company, owning my own company, as a volunteer, and really applying that values-focused drive to whatever you do and wherever you are.
Yeah. I want to, because we went off a little bit and I asked you guys this, the kind of like, this is kind of the introduction to your business part of the podcast, but I want to revert back, and there are other pieces and members to Javelina and what you guys do. Can you kind of give us a little bit of insight on the staff and who all works with you guys? Because you're the CEO, but yeah, there's also some founding members that are also not here with us today.
Right. So the Javelina was founded in January 2012, so we're nearly seven, by three people: myself, Bill Scheel, and David Wade.
Okay.
And we are the three founding partners. Bill and David are older than me, so they have long careers in politics. And the three of us had come out of different jobs and decided to start this new company. And it started out as a political consulting firm. So we did general consulting, helping people and issues figure out how to run a successful campaign. Mm-hmm. And then direct mail, which is the stuff you get in your mailbox
yes,
around this time that you throw directly into the trash. But it does, it is influential. And we did it that way. We ran Javelina as a political consulting firm for 3-ish years.
Okay, pause.
Okay.
Well, now comes the pivotal question.
Yes.
What made you guys change?
Okay, so what happened was it very organically changed itself.
Okay.
So in 2014 into 2015, different kinds of groups came to us and said, we want to achieve this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to approach it like a political campaign. So okay, in a period of about 6 months, two nonprofits and two businesses came to us.
Got it.
And when the last group came, I was like, there's something here. There's something that from political campaigns that we can take and apply to non-political campaigns.
Yeah.
And so we just said yes. We said yes, and it forced us to figure out when we're doing a political campaign, what is it that we're doing exactly?
Mm-hmm.
And we figured out what that was, and we developed a process that we now apply across every single client.
I want to pause again.
Okay.
Because this will now help me kind of explain that process, uh-huh, because I know what it's called.
Yes.
It's the five Taos.
The Tao of Javelina.
Taos of Javelina.
Yeah, it's pronounced with a D. You would never know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Taos themselves kind of establish the pillars of how you, A, tell people about your business, mm-hmm, and B, show them what your business accomplishes.
Yes.
And I thought it was really unique. I thought the branding itself is really beautiful, the way that each project has those levels established. Can you give us what the names of those different?
Yeah. So the Tao of Javelina, it means pathway in Chinese. So the first step in the Tao is identifying the defining the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to emphasize that this came from, the question was, when we're doing a political campaign, what is it that we're doing?
Yeah.
So a political campaign, the goal is clearly defined, mm-hmm, from the very beginning. And this is one of the best things about campaigns. You just have to get more votes than the other group. And you don't need to discuss it. Like, everyone knows that's what success looks like.
Yeah.
So the goal is clearly defined. Then, based on the goal, you need to figure out who's the target audience. Mm-hmm. Who do we need to reach? Once you know who the target audience is, then the third step is developing the story. So what is the message that is going to inspire that target audience to help you get toward your goal? Which is exactly what an effective political campaign is.
Yep.
You figure out who needs to vote yes, and then you develop a message, a true message, hopefully, but a message that is going to inspire that group of people to turn up at the polls and to vote for you. Then the fourth step is you launch the strategy. So you develop the strategy based on the people you need to move, and you have your message. How are you then getting your message out in the world? Are you, you know, and this is all about how you're going to reach your people. So is it an online campaign? Is it door to door? Is it all of the above? And then the fifth step is measuring effectiveness
Okay.
and refine, and then you can continue.
Man,
I looked at that whole, like, the layout of it and kind of, like, how you then go from establishing those and then your client list and, like, who you've developed. And then on each client list, you explain. And it was just beautiful, just kind of, like, how everything really flowed. And you can really see, okay, this client got this. This client got this. But not only that, that, like, there's depth to it. It's, like, this client needed to this change, and this is how we got to said change. And it was, I really thought what you guys pulled off, or what you guys are establishing in these DAOs, sorry, in these DAOs, it's just beautiful. I think, like, it's just the recipe for success and change, quote unquote, like the equation for change.
We hope so. and we, you know, we refine it. We're learning all the time. But we find that if you approach something in a process-driven way, it gives you a better framework to learn.
Yeah, it's definitely, it also works for you guys as well. Like, the thing that you guys, with the refine process, which I think is not seen, but I'm going to explain where I'm going with this. The refine process, which... with you guys establishing the podcast, Change the World, it's a beautiful amalgamation of you guys have these clients, but then you're also showing that you can do this other thing, that you can have these other little pieces that kind of, the way that I saw your first client, which is, what's it, 204 Prop 2?
206.
206,
maybe?
Yeah.
The minimum wage campaign?
The minimum wage. So that's the first client that I saw. But next up is your episode with the gentleman that we talked about. He's the voting...
Oh, Adrian Fontes. Yes. Adrian. He's the Maricopa County recorder who recorder, oversees elections. Yes.
And so to, like, see those two, like, pieces together, I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. Like, you guys know, like, you guys are doing really wonderful, like, things without even... trying. It's a kind of like
that's how it looks.
Yes, it's a beautiful, like, back and forth. You have this podcast, but you also have your clients as well, and your clients are so unique, and the idea of change and the idea of these different political backings too, that you can also have a podcast alongside it that helps people establish that you guys are trying to really use and make change.
Yeah. That's the goal. Go ahead.
And the nice thing about the podcast is it's about wherever someone is. You know, they don't have to necessarily run a nonprofit, run a business.
Exactly.
To be a change engineer. It's, you know, wherever you are, you can make a difference. And I think that's a really neat thing about it.
Absolutely.
Ariel, give me a little bit of how you got here, just because we know how Catherine got here and kind of her story and leading up to establishing this company. How did you get into the mix?
So I applied for a job with Javelina in 2016. It was just supposed to be temporary, maybe for like 6 months.
Yeah.
I was supposed to end it. It started in May and I was supposed to end in November. And it
was 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. Right. It was 2.5 years ago. And eventually, you know, they're building this amazing company and I got really drawn into that. And
yeah. It's
been just a really amazing experience working with our amazing clients and helping, you know, just grow this incredible business and change the world.
Sweet. Thank you. It's just like, I really am curious about, like, how your whole, like, group got to, because I also saw the bios and every person's, like, little quote, just like, I was like, yes. Yeah, like, every person's, like, mission statement was just like, I want this person to be on my team. I want this person to be, like, helping me out. And it's just incredible, the team that you have pulled together. Was that something that you, Bill, and the other founders kind of, like, were hoping for? Were you challenging the people who came on the team?
What a good question. I mean, to start with, we never thought there would be a team. Like, the plan was, you know, there was no plan. So I think, you know, we just thought it would be the three of us. And then when things in 2015 really started to grow, and then we grew over, you know, we really established, and we're 12 people now.
Yeah.
So, and we went from one person to five in 4 months. And that's a lot of growth.
Yeah.
And as soon as you have five people, you need policies and mm-hmm. systems, and you know, people ask you questions and expect you to know the answers, and that, so that was a whole thing. And then it keeps with every extra person, it sort of gets bigger. So I don't think we ever hoped there would be a team, or thought that would be, but if I was going to imagine the team I would have, I don't think I would even know to imagine. I got so lucky. Like, we have such great people, and we're just, everyone that we get to work with is that everybody comes to the work from a different path,
mm-hmm.
but everybody's path is true to them and authentic, exactly. and so personal, and everyone brings their whole self to the job. And sometimes that can make it super personal.
Yeah.
Like, when you bring your whole self, like, I can't claim that we don't get mad at each other or frustrated or emotional, because mm-hmm. that happens when your whole self is in this.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that is equally challenging and awesome about this work is it feels sometimes life or death. And when things do not go our way, like when President Trump got elected, that you feel that.
It's a real gut punch.
You know, and when those things happen, I guess I wouldn't want to be surrounded by any other group than the one we have.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've heard on the podcast, you guys are doing really great, amazing, like, pieces with other individuals on just this small scale, on just doing the stories themselves. So when you do these bigger campaigns, you guys are fluid. You guys are going from big to small in such a leap and bound effortlessly. Now, is it effortlessly, or is it very much the headache that I think it might be going from, you know, these small little podcasts to these giant, big, like, prop, you know, campaigns?
I mean, I think the process of building those things have been really difficult, because we're not even a year into our podcast yet.
Oh, so okay.
You know, there's all this learning and...
Yeah.
Trying to get a backlog and mm-hmm. research, and what equipment do we need, and this isn't working. Oh, we're going to interview two people at the same time. We need to figure out what equipment's going to work for that.
Yeah.
But like alternating between the two, I don't know. What do you think, Catherine?
So it's so interesting that you should use the word sort of, you know, big and little, and because I think about this concept a lot. So my job is bizarre in mm-hmm. that one moment I will be planning, you know, we have a very aggressive vision for our company. Like, mm-hmm. we very literally plan to change the world, and in a measurable, significant way mm-hmm. across continents. And so I will one minute be putting together a strategic plan that advances that mission in some way, and the next minute I'll be thinking about whether the bullet points in the document should have periods at the end of the sentences. You know, like, and it's
yes.
And I think
every creative's deep dark nightmare.
And I find that I oscillate between that kind of big and little, and
yeah.
sometimes I'll catch myself, and you know, and sometimes those are self-created problems and you need to like let go or recognize that makes me sound very controlling. And then there's some stuff that really, you know, so you have to think, like, is this where my energy should be going?
Yeah.
It's funny that you had, the way you framed a question was, you know, a big campaign to a little podcast interview, whereas in my mind, I think of it the other way around.
Really?
I think of the podcast interview as the big thing.
Ah.
And the campaign as the, not little necessarily, but...
abstract
details.
Yeah, okay.
Like, there's so many pieces that go into a campaign.
Got it. Yeah.
And a campaign is big. Mm-hmm. A campaign is big, but it's made up of 1,000 tiny decisions every minute.
Got it.
And you know, and the thing that's unique about campaigns, and this has actually been a struggle for us as a company, is there is no planning. There is no structure. That you have 9 to 18 months to throw as much stuff at the wall as you can, and you see what sticks.
And things are just going to happen.
Just happen. It is reactive, it is responsive. You know, it's why people do 2 or 3 cycles and then they get they go into a government job or they change industries. People don't tend to work on campaigns for their entire career unless they're consulting. And that's different because there's some, if you are actually a campaign staffer, it just, it's all consuming. And so it's been a challenge for us because the business grew out of campaigns and we're still learning these lessons to figure out how do we as a business not function that way and instead be, we plan and be intentional and test and not throw 1,000 things at the wall, but instead be strategic about what we're focusing on. And so that has been, you know, sort of a challenge. And I think that the oscillation between the different things is really challenging. And it's definitely, if it looks easy, it's not. However, I think there's a lot of, strength in it. There's a lot of learning in it. And I think it's always fun to have a varied, I've got to think our team enjoys just the variety of the stuff that we're working on.
Yeah. Something fresh and new.
I think that it can be stressful, sure. But I think there's probably a good side to it as well.
Yeah, and the ability to just, like, create stuff. Like, should we have a book club? Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Should we have a podcast?
Yeah, sure. How have you guys seen the podcast make an effect on the other business? Like, are they... I mean, I imagine that they can be both their own entities, but at the same time, you guys do really put together... On the website, they look united. So how has one influence? Yeah. So how have they, has it been successful in what you've seen in however many episodes you put out so far on wanting to not only collaborate the two entities together, but has there been like how, what have you learned on top of that?
Great question. So our goal for the first year was consistency. Okay. So that's how success was defined. We did not put a download goal on it or a lead generation goal on it. It was literally, let's just see if we can do this every Tuesday and see how it goes.
Nice.
And that has, so I would say that to me has felt surprisingly easy, but I actually don't do the hard work. Ariel does.
Ariel, how many tears? I want to know how many boxes of Kleenex are in it. Have gone out the window. I want to know all of it. Tell me, rip the band-aid off.
I mean, it's been in the beginning really stressful, but very rewarding. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're aware. Yeah.
Oh, hearing the no's, those can be fun.
But it's like once you get into that flow, it becomes much easier. And
absolutely.
When we started, it was just me. And then we hired Taylor, who helps produce the podcast, and that's been a ton of help. And it really it takes a lot to
give my kudos to Taylor because he makes it happen. I listened to that all the way through, and I was just in it completely. Right. It was really great.
I'm glad. We also have fun. It's like the three of us, and it's our baby, kind of.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
What have you learned, Ariel,
from the podcast?
Yeah, this year or about the podcast, I guess.
I mean,
sound quality.
From the stories themselves, just some of the stories people have. I mean, and going into it, especially when you're doing the research on somebody, you have this picture of who they are and what they do in your head. And sometimes Catherine goes in there and interviews them, and you just come out with this completely, very deeply personal human story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really amazing part of it. And sometimes, at least Catherine, people will approach her and tell her, oh, I listened to so-and-so episode and, you know, it really resonated with them. And I think that makes it more meaningful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think when we started out, we made this assumption that well-known guests would make the most quote-unquote successful podcasts. And we've discovered that's not the case at all.
Nope.
And that in fact it's those who come willing to share, and those are the ones that get the most, the highest number of listens, but also the biggest response. And then the other thing that I have learned is that everybody has a story in them, and it doesn't. So we, you know, when I was asking you about your podcast before, Jose, you were saying that you have an open door policy, you know, anybody can be interviewed. And we don't call it that, but we kind of have the same one that at the beginning we used to look at, you know, these guest ideas and sort of evaluate yes or no. And now it's usually yes, because everybody, 99% of people come ready with an experience of change. And so that's a huge thing that I've learned this year.
Yeah. People are excited to share their stories.
Yeah. What's been your favorite kind of like moment as far as doing the podcast? Because I know, like you said, the ones where you're pleasantly surprised, those have been my favorite as far as my favorite story to kind of share. It's like, I didn't think that it was going to go anywhere. Two guys, two brothers have this business that deals with air conditioning. They tell me that they're building a new business that would help with air filters. Don't think about it. I was like, okay. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to talk to, because I don't, I mean, HVAC, like, who thinks air conditioning sexy or fun to talk about? I didn't think anything of it. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say to these guys. It's going to be hard. And pleasantly surprised, wonderful pair. They both knew what they were talking. It wasn't even about that. It was about their idea for this new business that they think would be incredible, because, you know, like, shavers and things, uh-huh. They all have the subscription service.
Yeah.
Well, your air filters need to be changed out just as much. So they're like, oh, we're going to make this cool new like subscription service that people can now just never think about changing their, it'll come straight to you. And I was like, that's incredible. That's a unique idea. But the fact is like, yeah, that was a cool, unique idea. But these guys were like passionate. They were funny. They were well-spoken. They were talking, like, they knew how to go on tangents. They had these other things that made up the business itself was fun, but the individuals that made the business were twice as much fun. Totally. So it's, you know, you go in, you know, I always go in half cup full kind of guy, but for this one was like, this is going to be rough, but we're going to do it. But it was not rough. It was so fluid. It was so fun. It was funny. I like literally didn't want them to leave. Uh-huh. I was like, this is great. And those are the stories where I'm pleasantly like, this is why I do podcasts. This is why you do it. And do you have a moment like that?
I haven't exactly know which moment it is. So we were doing it was early. It was maybe our third or fourth interview. Or was it the second one?
It was like your second or third.
It was early.
Really early on.
So it was a lady named Maricela Solis.
Okay.
Who I had spoken to on the phone for a completely different reason. And I just had this, there was just something about the way she spoke that I just felt like she would be a great podcast interview. And this is right at the beginning. We had no idea what this was going to be or who it was going to be. We knew it was going to be interview based, but it was nothing really like it is now. Mm-hmm. And I just said to Ariel, hey, let's go to Tucson. Yeah. You know, I just have a feeling about Maricela.
Brittany and I have had that conversation once or twice before. Let's go to Tucson.
Yeah. So we set up and I reached out to her. She says yes. Mm-hmm. And it was harder at the beginning to get people to say yes because it wasn't a thing. Like it wasn't even on iTunes. And so she works at a space company, like out in the middle of nowhere, Tucson. So we go out there and I didn't really know what I was going to talk to her about.
Mm-hmm.
Did some research, obviously, but there was no obvious story, really.
Yeah.
And so I went in without a plan and asked her a little bit, just, you know, sort of basic introductory question. And the question now I ask, which is about a moment of change, I didn't do then. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, hey, how's it going? And I think, I can't remember what the question was, but I asked her a question early. It was like in the first few minutes of the interview. And she answered with a wide open heart. And it was all about, and then we ended up having an extended conversation about her husband was in active military service and the impact that two things had on her family. One, his PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, living and raising their son, knowing there was a really real chance that he might never come home, and the impact that had on her and her family. And she just shared so deeply and so openly. And we were in this little room, and me and Ariel, and that conversation will stay with me forever. Something, you know, happened. Mm-hmm. And so she cried. I nearly cried. We finished, we said goodbye, and we walked out, and Ariel and I were just in the car, kind of in silence.
Yeah.
And both of us at the same time went to say, like, just wow.
Yeah.
And it's not that I went in with low expectations, it's that I went in with no expectations. And I think that what I learned was you just never know. You never know what somebody is going through, or what somebody has gone through. And there is something to be learned about change from every single human, because it's just part of the human condition. And that, I think, I'm so glad it happened early, because I could not have articulated this at the time, but with hindsight, I think I realized how powerful this could be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember thinking, I thought we were going to talk about space.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, her story was just really incredible, and it was one of those things that...
It took a real left turn when you asked her about change.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things that, you know, there are thousands of families across like the country who are dealing with that. And it was just this really authentic moment. That...
Yeah. And the fact that she opened up about that conversation, which I think the latter of the conversation, which many people don't really talk about, is like, as an active duty member, not coming home. And
that's what she said. She said, no one talks about this. No one tells you, how do you live knowing that your husband has a good chance, like pretty high probability of not coming home.
Higher than most.
Yeah.
Right. You know, working.
And he did.
Yeah.
Come home. And PTSD is a part of his life today. Mm-hmm. And that was a whole other thing that they weren't prepared for.
Yeah. Ugh. Man, it's really incredible that you guys took in that moment, especially being novice and being green essentially to the situation and to those moments where people open up and be vulnerable with you. Because it was later down the road when that happened for me, and I was very lucky that later happened down the road, because I could easily interpret and kind of take that in and keep going with the podcast. Whereas I think early on I would have cried along with them and been, you know, it would have gone off the rails. But you know, it's incredible that you guys were able to be steadfast in that moment and in that conversation too.
I think it's testament to her, honestly, that she was just so confident, like sort of quietly confident in her sharing of the story. It was so true and so real to her and so authentic that it felt like she trusted us with the story.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, it really is a testament to just her and how she wasn't apologetic for it. She was just like, this is my experience and more people should talk about this.
Yeah. What have you guys learned about yourselves after going through 41 episodes of change? I mean, talking about change, establishing change, being the change, you know, there's a lot that goes in, especially with these individuals. For yourselves, I can imagine that you've taken in, done your own inventory, and come out a little bit stronger. So tell us a little bit about that side of it.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is really just everyone has a story. Everyone, you know, can change from where they are. And I'm actually really excited. So Catherine, at the end of every podcast episode, asks, what's the single change you want to see in the world? But we're getting to the point now that we're gonna create like a word cloud out of that and see, reflect back and see what's the change people want to see.
Sweet.
Yeah, we did have the foresight from the very beginning to write those down as they happened, so we didn't have to go back and re-listen to them.
Foresight, yeah, that's good.
That'll be really cool to say. Yeah. I've learned so much, and now I've started, after each episode, I have started to write down what I learned about change from each one. So the one with Maricopa County recorder Adrian Fontes, which you referenced, it sounds so simple, but it was a real lesson for me. So in talking about change, what came up in our conversation was, what he said is, if you were trying to get from point A to point B, mm-hmm. you have to really understand point A.
Yeah.
And I had not, that's certainly not how I have approached change. Mm-hmm. I'm very much like, screw point A, let's get to point B as quickly as possible we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, Brittany's smiling. And so I was like, oh my goodness, that's so true. And I think when I think about change at Javelina, I think that's a mistake we've made. We haven't spent long enough understanding what's point A. And mm-hmm. we're going through some organizational changes now. And we've spent a lot of time on a point A. Like, mm-hmm. let's really understand what the problem is here. And for me personally, it's been painful. Like, I just want to pivot and move on. Like, I don't want to talk about point A anymore. And yet, I now am seeing the value in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that we're going to get to point B. Maybe not faster, but I think probably faster and certainly in more harmony because we truly understand what we need to change.
Yeah.
One of the things that the podcast has done, which I was not expecting, is it really is, you know, our Javelina's product is change. That's what we do. That's what we create. And in these conversations, we are learning, and I am learning so much about how to create change
mm-hmm.
and the different kinds of change, like anticipated and unanticipated are so different. Personal and professional are so different. Negative and positive change and what you perceive to be negative can become positive mm-hmm. and the other way around.
Yeah.
And so there are all these different things.
Yeah.
That go into it. And so I'm really excited. It feels so cool that we have 41 conversations about the subject, and we'll just continue to get more data that we can really start to build a theory, I guess, as to what do we know from all these incredible people that are doing change on a day-to-day basis, and how can we share that with our community to equip us to make better global change.
Man, you guys are cool. I didn't realize how much the word I would have to say, the word change, and but it's incredible because you guys, you make it so effortless, so beautiful, so seamless. So I literally was fascinated from the first episode that I heard that I subscribed. Yay, I will continue to listen. I will be continuing to be a fan, and hopefully we can have you guys on again. And would love to have you on again. And it's just been fun having you guys here today. And if I could say one thing to you guys, especially, is keep it up. Keep it up. If there's anyone that you guys want from our catalog, I would love to make that happen. Awesome. On top of which, I'm going to keep probably sending people your way, and like, hopefully we can do something together too. I just have so many things that I think that we would love to establish some kind of business relationship with.
I would
you guys.
Love that. That would be great. I think podcasting is such an incredible medium, and I'm so excited to see it growing. And we've had a lot of people ask us, hey, how do you do that? And so I'm like, I don't know, but talk to Ariel. and we have shared our equipment list.
Okay.
You know, we've just sent it to multiple people because actually I think our initial equipment was less than $200.
Yeah. I see it focused right behind you. That was our first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was my first one.
Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't have to be
crazy.
People think that it's this.
So you many know, things thing. To it. Yeah.
The most important thing is consistency.
Yeah.
So just set it up in whatever. Mm-hmm. If anyone out there is thinking of doing a podcast, set it up in a way that you're going to be able to do it consistently, even if that's once a month.
I learned that the hard way. Yeah, I learned that the hard way. I went from once a month to weekly, and it was a hard transition, but consistency, the difference between hearing me once a month to hearing me weekly, and the community and the change that came out of it was so significant, so very much. And I can say that the ability to establish yourself on a consistent basis to your fans, quote unquote, or the people listening to you, or whoever is your customer range, the ability to be face to face or with them on some kind of connected level routinely,
mm-hmm.
is going to make them more open to you, more connected with you, more connected with your business. I can definitely attest to that all the way through.
Yep. 100% agree.
Before we go, this is your chance to promote yourselves, any events that you guys got coming up. So the pony awaits for you to plug away.
Well, when will this be coming out?
Oh,
that depends what we're gonna.
That's true.
Yes, that is very true. So typically, how this, most people don't know this. I'm letting the cat out of the bag, literally. We do like a 4-week turnaround, so we'll be doling this out in 4 weeks from now.
So mid-December-ish.
Yeah, mid-December-ish.
Okay. That helps.
The only thing in January is the Arizona Good Business Summit.
Yes. Okay. So
you guys, we might be there. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
We know Thomas from Local First.
Awesome. So we're going to be presenting about change engineering.
Sweet. So congratulations.
We'll, so anyone listening to this should definitely go. It's January 31st.
Yes.
Yes.
No, it January 31st. Yeah, I know.
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head where it is. Is it at the convention center?
Yeah, it's at the Phoenix Convention.
Great. Go to localfirstaz.com for all of the information. Yes. It is going to be, it is their Good Business Summit, and it is going to be filled with local businesses who want to do good while they do business.
Yeah.
And we are going to be so thrilled to be there. It's our people. So we're going to be so excited. And then I guess the other thing would be the podcast. If you haven't checked it out, it is called How to Change the World and comes out weekly on Tuesdays. And then our email newsletter, if you go to javelina.co and sign up for the newsletter, it will alert you at all new episodes. And that is another thing that Ariel puts together. And it's weekly, and it's hysterical, and it is short. And nice. If you want an entertaining GIF in your inbox on a Friday morning, then definitely sign up for that.
Well, again, thank you both of you for coming in. And I wish you guys nothing but the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Before we go, guys, you can hear all of our episodes at findingarizonapodcast.com. We make it easy for you guys to sign up for our newsletter, which Brittany is our Ariel, and she puts that together every week on a Friday. So if you want to sign up for that, you can go to findingarizonapodcast.com. Last but not least, we are going to go and ask 50 questions. It's our bonus round where we ask them what they like, what they don't like, and it's called Fine Examination. Catch it only on patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast. And with that, we say goodbye to Ariel and to Catherine. Thank you so much for coming in, and we say goodbye to all of you. Good night, everybody. Good night.